Let's pray before we go any further. Father, thank you for safety this morning as people in some cases have traveled many miles to come worship you in this fog. Thank you that we have the opportunity to come to worship you like this. Thank you for everyone that is here this morning. Thank you for churches that are gathering all over our community and region and nation. We do pray, Heavenly Father, that your Spirit would lead us. We do pray, O God, that you would be glorified. And so, Lord, as we lift up the name of Jesus, we've just sung the beautiful, powerful, wonderful name of Jesus. I pray that today would be a day that people would encounter Jesus in a fresh way, in a brand new way, in a transformational way. I pray that today people all over America and the globe would come to Jesus Christ as Lord. And they could sing and praise the name, the wonderful name of Jesus, and experience the powerful name of Jesus and follow you. Father, we do also lift up to you the names on our prayer list and pray that you would be with each one. Some have lost their loved ones again. Some are in hospitals. Some have been in hospitals. Some are in care centers. Some are just struggling in other ways. Father, we pray for them today and ask that you'd be with each and every one. But above all else, Father, we pray that people would encounter Jesus Christ as Lord. Because it really doesn't matter how good or bad we are physically, if it isn't well with our soul, the rest doesn't matter. And so I pray that people would come to Christ and surrender to Christ, and so that they could say, it is well with my soul. And so, Lord, we pray, though, for those that are sick and ask that you'd encourage and strengthen and heal. And we pray that as we look at Scripture today and in a few minutes, hear from Kevin and his testimony, may you be glorified. We pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so, yes, you heard Charles say it, and you heard me pray it, that we are going to hear a testimony in a few minutes. And I'm always so thankful to offer to you someone's testimony, and you can witness and experience all over again the transforming power of Jesus. Amen? It is good to see that and to hear from others. And so in just a few minutes, I'm going to invite Kevin Flansburgh to come forward and tell some of his testimony to you this morning. But first, if you have your Bible, I'm going to set the stage just a little bit for Kevin. Mark chapter 5, if you've got your Bible, Mark chapter 5, this is a story that you know. I know that you've read it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, one of them, because it's there in all of them. But I want to go over it again and make 2 points very briefly at the end, setting the stage for Kevin and his story. Mark chapter 5, I've entitled this one, Follow Me Means Telling Others. And so, here we go. Here's the story. I'm sure you know it. Then they came to the other side. That's Jesus and the disciples. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he, that's Jesus, had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. And then the Bible begins to describe this crazy man, this wild man, this lunatic of a guy. Verse 3, the man who had his dwelling among the tombs, in other words, he lived among the dead, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, get this picture now, this is a madman, if you will. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. One other of the Gospels mentions, and we'll see it here later, he also was naked. And so here's this bloody guy, all cut up, screaming obscenities, I'm sure, tried to chain him from time to time in the power of the demons that lived within him, broke those shackles, broke those chains. And so this is the man that Jesus encountered when he had crossed the sea. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. This madman ran. Why? Well, we'll see here. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." You see, this man, the Pharisees didn't recognize who Jesus was. The religious folks of the day, they didn't recognize him as the Son of God, as a Messiah, as Emmanuel. But this guy, who was filled with evil spirits, recognized precisely who this was. And he calls to him and says, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" He knew exactly who he was, even though the people on the other side of the sea, which was the Jewish people, he's now in Gentile territory, this guy knew exactly who he was. Verse 8, "For he," that's Jesus, "said to him," that's the madman, "come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he, that's the madman, answered, saying, "My name is Legion." This is the demon speaking through the man, "for we are many." And he begged him, that's the madman, to Jesus, earnestly, that he would not send them out of the country. In other words, that he wouldn't send the demons into hell or into the abyss where they know they will be one day. However, there was a large herd of swine feeding there near the mountain, so all the demons begged Jesus, saying, "Send us to the swine, that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave the permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There was about 2,000 of them, that swine. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. You start to get the picture. This is a very vivid picture. I wish he was on the big screen. We'd get the flavor. I'm just about to the point. I needed to set this setting for us because I want you to see the point here. So those, verse 14, "So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that happened. Then they came," that's the people of the surrounding communities, "they came to Jesus and saw the one," that's the madman, formerly, "who had been demon-possessed and had the legion." Now look at what they see and notice about him. First of all, it said he was sitting. That was unusual because he never sat. He ran about like a madman. He was clothed. That was unusual because he was normally naked. And he was in his right mind. And when they saw this, the Bible says they were afraid. "And those who saw it told them how it happened, and to him who had been demon-possessed, and about the swine. And they," that's the people of the area, "began to plead with him," that's Jesus, "to depart, leave our region." And when he, that's Jesus, got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. We've been talking all summer about following Jesus. And here was a man, well, let's just say he had a radical transformation. This is about as radical as you get. And he longed to follow Jesus. And the Bible says, however, Jesus did not permit him. That's simply saying he did not permit him to get in the boat and go back to the Jewish side where Jesus was going back to. He being a Gentile, Jesus had his reasons, but he did not say, you cannot follow me. He did not permit him to get in the boat and come back over to the Galilee and the Judean side. But he did give him instructions and how he might follow. Verse 19. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, that's did not permit him to get in the boat, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And when he, that's a madman, departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Hallelujah. Followers of Jesus tell others about Jesus. That is the way it is supposed to be. How can we not, when we have encountered the risen Christ in a real, transforming way, been saved from our sins, been rescued from the broad road that leads to destruction, and set on the narrow road that leads to life, how can we not tell others about Jesus? That's all he asked of him. Go home to your friends. First of all, I wondered when I read that, friends, I'm not sure this guy's got any. The way he's been behaving for these last several years. But Jesus' simple instruction to this man, go home and tell people what Jesus has done for you. Now I know, I suppose we could argue, well, I'm not an evangelist, Jim. Or we could argue, he didn't call me to be a pastor. Neither was this guy. This guy was no evangelist either, but he had a story to tell. And that's all Jesus asked of him to do, and that's what he asks of us to do. I've said this many, many times. If we will simply avail ourselves to those people that Jesus puts in our path and tell them what Jesus has done for us, Jesus will do the work on their hearts. You're not responsible for their salvation. Our responsibility is do what Jesus said. Go and tell. Go on home to your friends, to your family, to your coworkers, to your neighbors, and tell them the great things that God has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. That's what he tells us to do. And I know we'll probably come up with the next argument. Well, my story isn't quite that dramatic. I wasn't filled with a legion of demons. But I'll tell you this, brothers and sisters, and Kevin is going to tell you in just a couple minutes, if you've been saved, if you've been born again, there's something to tell. Amen? I was lost. Amazing Grace, the song. And now I'm found. I was blind. And now I see. There's something to tell when we've been rescued from hell. That's all he asked of this man. That's what he asks of the church. Followers of Jesus, tell others about Jesus. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be an evangelist. But if you've been rescued by the blood of Jesus, you've experienced the grace of God, you've got a story. And if you'll simply tell the story, I am sure Jesus will take it from there. On so many occasions, I have encountered people in hospitals, on the sidewalks of life, in jail cells, sometimes here at church, and Jesus has just simply impressed upon me, tell them your story. And that's what he asks of us. You see, he will put people in your path. He will. Just like he did Patsy and Jim Brennan, Harry and Phyllis, Jim and Patsy, they're on a train going to Glacier, right? Is that where you're going? Going to Glacier. Go and just have a little time away, just a little relaxation. And God put this young Belgium college student in their path. And Patsy began to tell her story and talk to this young woman who's going to go to college in Boston or someplace, just happened to want to see Glacier. And they began to talk with each other, and Patsy simply told her her story. And before long, this young college student from Belgium wanted to trust Jesus. And Patsy led her to the Lord on a train going to Glacier. Hallelujah is right. God will put people in our paths, whether we're on vacation, on leave of absence, or anything else from life. God will put people in our paths so we can do what he told the demoniac here. Simply tell them your story. And so, I'm going to say this before I invite Kevin to come forward. I said last week, followers of Jesus are to love like Jesus. Remember the 99 and 1? Somebody sent me that a wonderful quote afterwards, later that day, that said, for Jesus to leave the 99 and go to find one doesn't seem to make much sense unless you're the one. Then it makes a lot of sense. And so I remind us today, followers of Jesus, love like Jesus. And that one might be somebody he puts in your path, or mine, to simply tell your story. And the second thing I'll say now, or the last thing I'll say, followers of Jesus, tell others about Jesus. And that's what Kevin wants to do this morning. Come on up here, brother. You have seen on the prayer list that Kevin has been recently diagnosed with a very significant cancer. And so we've been praying for Kevin, and Kevin and I have been meeting almost on a weekly basis, and he's been an encouragement to me. He's been an encouragement to me because of how he's allowed Jesus to make an eternal difference in his life. And he wants to tell you his story. God bless you, brother. Let me grab you that. Let me grab you this so they can hear you. Thank you, Charles.
As the pastor said, my name is Kevin, and I'm here to tell you my story about how my Lord and Savior saved me. I would like to tell my story about the love and patience of our Savior Jesus Christ. Saved me, my story truly begins. And when I finally listened to Pastor Jim and decided to get into the Word and decided to read my Bible cover to cover, every time I picked up my Bible to read it, I would say this simple prayer, that the Lord would soften my hardened heart and fix it spiritually and mentally, and to help open my eyes and ears to the message that he wanted me to receive that night. As I read my Bible each night, I was so convicted and ashamed about how I was living my life, because it was not how my Savior was telling me how I should be living my life. So I asked him, please forgive me. because I was so convicted and so ashamed. Not that many months ago, whenever I heard the question, if you died today, would you go to heaven? My answer would always be, I hope so. And now I'm happy to say he has performed a great work in my life since, to the point of if I missed that question today, I could answer, yes, absolutely, positively, without question, I am going to heaven because I am forgiven. Up to this point, I lived my life in pure selfishness and wasting my God-given blessings and resources on myself and never used any of it to help anyone else. I should have been living my life with compassion for other people, and for that I'm so sorry. Not very long after I started reading, I found myself talking to coworkers, family members, doctors, and about Jesus and my newfound faith. This is something I had never done before. It was never in my comfort zone. And now when I started talking about Jesus, I find it hard to stop. And to my surprise, my audience seems to be listening to me with interest. And talking Jesus to these small groups of friends and family has become my newfound comfort zone. Since I have gotten into the Word, He talks to me. Like where it says in the Bible, my sheep will hear my voice and know it. I found that as I listened to Christian radio and the more I read His Word, I started to hear Him speak to me. One example of this is when I was at the cancer center. There was this very sick man that was violently ill. Then I heard him say, go up to him, ask him if you could pray for him. Normally when I hear his voice, I would say, yes, Lord. This day I did not, because it was not in my comfort zone. And ever since then, I have been so ashamed of myself for not answering that call. In the days after, because I felt so ashamed, I told the Lord in prayer, if He called me to get out of my comfort zone, I would not say no again. Which brings me here today, because this is as far from my comfort zone as I can get. But I do this to honor Him and to honor my word to Him. Now that I gave an understanding of how I got here today, let's go back to the beginning, my childhood. As a very young lad, my grandparents lived next door to us. I had a path beat that led to their house. I remember always seeing my grandma and grandpa sitting at the table reading their Bibles, as long as they didn't have chores or work to do. It seems every time I went there, Grandma would be sitting at the table reading her Bible. My grandpa was a truck driver, wasn't always home. Let me tell you, these people's life was Jesus. My grandma would pick up hitchhikers most people would drive by, and sometimes even brought them home to feed them and give them a place to stay. They also sponsored children overseas. They were the definition of being the hands and feet of Jesus. I know that work will not get you into heaven, but I believe it helps lay up treasure in heaven. And my grandparents had a lot of treasure in heaven, that I can tell you. As I grew up in my late teens and early adulthood, I would stop and see my grandma less and less. But every time I did stop, she would be there at the table reading her Bible. And her first words to me every time would be, Kevin, are you going to come to church with me this Sunday? My answer would always be, no, Grandma, not this Sunday. Because I had other things going on that our Savior would not approve of. Back then, it was such a small town, everybody knew everybody, and my grandma knew the kinds of things I was into, and they weren't good. Let me just say, I would give anything now to go to church with my grandma. She could have taught me so much about my Savior. At her funeral, I remember one of my aunts, I believe it was my Aunt Diane, that said that Grandma prayed every day that her children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren would come to know Jesus and be saved. That was her greatest desire in life. She's been gone many years now, yet our Savior honored her prayer, at least with this grandson. I just wished it would have been while she was still here. But I think she knows. I often wonder, through the many years of my late teens, early adult, how many times my Savior stepped in and saved my life from all the dangerous things I was doing. I had a very fast car back then, and on more than one occasion, inebriated and under the influence of drugs and alcohol, I had that car going well over 100 miles an hour. One time for sure, I was doing 130 on the road, and the last time I looked at the speedometer, I was doing excess of 90 miles an hour coming into a corner and ended up in a ditch and never rolled over. While not that many years before that night, I had friends that did the exact same thing. They rolled and died on that same corner. How many times has He saved my life in order to get me to this point I am today, being saved through Jesus Christ, as well as to honor my grandma's prayers from so long ago? Because had I died back then, I would not be in heaven. I would be in hell. Flash forward now, I have been diagnosed with an incurable cancer. And in my prayers, I ask Jesus if He will perform a miracle with me as I read in the Bible, where the blind see, the paraplegic walk, and the lepers are healed. And I pray that He gives me this blessing so I'd have more time to promote His kingdom, because I have wasted so many years. And unlike my grandparents, I don't have any treasure laid up in heaven. Although when I pray, I tell Him I know His will be done, and it will be just either way, whether He heals me here or He heals me in heaven. Although I always tell Him He knows my preference to be healed here and be used as a vessel to tell everyone that He is still performing miracles today and promote His kingdom. And I'll hold this mustard seed of faith that He will heal me, and I will keep believing that He will heal me until He proves me otherwise and takes me home. Because who can deny the existence if I am healed? Because this just don't go away on its own. This kind of thing just don't happen. But His will is always just, and either way, I know that I am saved if He chooses to take me home. Although I have not yet completed my Bible cover to cover, I have read all the New Testament, and I'm working on the Old. God willing, I'll be able to finish it. And read it many more times over. And in closing, I would encourage everyone to get into their Bibles and read it cover to cover, because the more you get into it, the Lord will show you how to live your life for Him. On my way back from treatment, the other day I heard a preacher on Christian radio that had a great point that I would like to share. He said, "This book is the only thing that God has given us to know Him by. If He didn't give us this book, we wouldn't know Him." This book is the only way to know your Savior. So I leave you with encouragement to read, learn, and draw close to Him. He loves you. He will leave the 99 for you. If He can save this sinner, He can save anybody. If you just accept His gift of salvation, it's free for the taking for every single person. Thank you and God bless.
Kevin to stand down here on the floor and invite several of you to come around. We'll lay hands on him and pray for him again. Reach in and touch someone that's touching Kevin or touch someone that's close. God, our Father, thank you for Kevin. Thank you that he's arrived at this place of being born anew. Father, we've heard his story and you know it. Thank you for your grace that's watched over him. Thank you for praying grandmothers. Thank you for honoring those prayers. Father, you know Kevin has cancer. He loves you. In spite of it, he will keep loving you. But we would ask, Heavenly Father, that you might take the cancer out of him to the glory of God. And so we ask and pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Touch his body. Heal him. Father, you've given him a testimony. Help him to keep telling it to whoever he encounters. And as he plants those seeds in life's pathway, the simple seeds of telling others what you have done for him. Father, keep saving others because of this story. We ask it and pray in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you all.
Friends, as we get ready to sing our closing song, I wonder if perhaps there are others here that are sensing God speaking to you today. Sensing God speaking to you in a way that has spoke to Kevin these last short months. Come home. Come home. Because you see, he will leave the 99 come looking for you. And I just wonder if there's anyone here today that just knows in their spirit, knows in their heart, he's speaking to me. I need to come home. I need to come to Jesus by faith. So let's just bow our heads for a moment before we sing. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. And let me ask you again, do you know that you know? This is not a religion thing. This is not a baptism thing. This is a faith thing. Do you know that you know? As Kevin has said with confidence, you will be with Jesus tomorrow if you die today because of what Jesus has done on the cross and your faith, your surrendered faith in him. Because if you're not sure and your answer is like Kevin's was for 54 years, I hope so. Friends, today is the day of salvation. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. And if the Lord is speaking to you, Will you slip your hand up? So you're just acknowledging, I too need Jesus. I need to surrender completely to Jesus. Father, thank you for your grace that is so willing to go further than our sin took us from you. Thank you for Kevin and his story. All the rest of us that are sitting here today that have been born again have a story. And I pray that as you put people in front of us today and this week, and until you call us home, we're available like Kevin was today, out of his comfort zone, and the demoniac that Jesus rescued in Mark 5. Help us, Father, to be willing and ready to tell our story to the glory of God. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.